I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided Radio Show this Sunday morning. We are so glad that you are here with us. We have a great, great show for you today. I am in the studio with Chuck Rice. He is the founder of Brio, and we are going to be diving into this great, great word, our weekly winning word, initiative. And I love this word because when it comes to success, you got to take initiative. It really takes that action. It takes the ability for you to say, okay, I'm going to go after something. It's outside of your comfort zone, maybe, right? But you're going to do something outside of your comfort zone, or even if it is outside of your comfort zone, take that initiative because you desire to be successful. And of course, that's what we want for you here at I've Decided. We want you to be successful in your goals and dreams. And that's why we're here, to give you that encouragement and the right motivation and information and the resources that you need to be successful. So I'm really excited, Chuck, to have you. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Kim. I've been looking forward to it.
Me too. So a lot of times I use the opportunity of the show when we have newer business members join our community. And it's only been a couple months here that you've decided to join our community and bring your awesome resources. I use this show as a great opportunity to really get to know our members, to learn about their passions and, you know, what your goals and dreams are and how we can share that. But it just also puts that information out to the community, right, so that we can learn all the resources we have. So I've been looking forward to the show, too, because I am excited to learn about your program, because really, your program is about people taking that initiative of self-awareness, right?
It's exactly that. And what the data will tell you out there is about only about 20% of us are actually self-aware. And that leaves 80% of us that probably have a ways to go. So to take the initiative, be it initiated by your company or yourself, however you want to do it, is one thing, but then to follow through and take the initiative to take the actions to do something about it. So, saying you mentioned I've been a new member. I mean, I'm a great example. I took initiative to actually call you up, make an appointment, and find out about it and do it. And a lot of people have a tendency to be idea collectors. You know, I want to do this. Let's do this. I want to schedule this. And you know, myself, I'd like to be part of this or this or this or this. And at some point, like, okay, what's the next step? I want to do this, and you take the initiative to do it.
Yeah, so. And sometimes it takes a little time. You might want to get to know the organization. I mean, you and I met a few years ago. You came to visit I've Decided a few years ago, but you know, after a while, and you learned more about what we were doing, and then you made that decision. But that's true, taking that initiative. So when you talk about self-awareness, mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit more? And also, like, how did you get involved in this? So you own the organization Brio. Like, what is it exactly? And how did you get involved in, and what would you mean when you say self-aware? What does that actually mean, I guess?
So self-awareness, looking at yourself through some of the diagnostic tools in that. I was in pharmaceutical and devices in the corporate world for about 30 years. And the most rewarding job that I had was with training and development, and I got involved with one of the models and rolled it out at a large, you know, Fortune 50 company, and I was just enthralled in it. The people that I worked with are great. I totally believed in the science behind it, and self-awareness itself is, you can boil it down. It's never black and white, and there's degrees of it, but most people come from more extroverted or introverted side, and people tend to be thinking or feeling, and it's not, again, it's a spectrum, right? So if you become aware that you're an extroverted feeling person, there's certain things that kind of go with that, and how you see the world. The world through those eyes is pretty much your facts, and that's what you go on. So once you get in tune with that, that's one part of it. But self-awareness is great, but noticing, this is a great term I got from somebody else, I love it, it's noticing the otherness in others. So I could be self-aware, but if I don't understand, you know, where Kim's coming from, or Bob, or somebody I work with, it only gets you halfway home. So that's the part that I think I really like to stress. And there's ways and tactics and techniques and things you can practice that won't be skillful first because it's new to you, right? But if you stay with it, take the initiative and keep coming at it, those are the people that kind of set themselves apart. I think we all know some people that are pretty self-aware and, you know, probably not lucky that they're somewhat successful too. So,
absolutely. Because, you know, when you're self-aware, you recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. You're okay to say, hey, I'm good at that. But you're also okay to say, I'm not so good at that. And I can improve or get some help in that area. I wrote this down when you said it, because even just understanding these four basic things, coming from a place of extroverted or introverted, as well as, I like this one, thinking or emotion. My husband and I, we're both pretty passionate people. So we do everything with passion. So if we're happy, we're passionately happy. If we're mad, we're passionately mad, you know? And so we use an analogy. I'll use the analogy of like, okay, so you're going to jump in the mud puddle with me. So I'm in the mud puddle. I'm feeling all emotional here and having a meltdown. And now you're going to have the meltdown with me, or are you going to start thinking here? So I kind of like that. Yeah. When you're communicating with someone, are they acting on are they speaking from an emotional point, or are they actually thinking clearly? Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, and it can happen in just a beat, right? So a lot of people will tend to react versus respond. And a lot of it, once you become self-aware and you know, okay, well, an example. I'm going to use the word analogy or meltdown. Those are quick, boom, descriptive visual type of words. And somebody that maybe comes from a more introverted spot, more a little cerebral, and they may not be, whoa, you know, they have to process in that type of thing. So, again, it's just noticing. If you can boil it down to this one thing, it's just noticing. Noticing yourself, how you react, and noticing the other person. And it's not hard, but to do it consistently takes some work.
Well, it's a behavior.
It's
don't
a learned
you think
behavior.
Because our responses are so emotionally geared, usually, don't you think?
I think emotions drive everything, Kim.
Yeah.
I think if you boil it down, if you go back and look, I mean, most people want to do something, they don't want to do something, or they don't care. And those are kind of emotions, you know, apathy. You're very passionate about things. I think everybody's passionate in their own way. You know, a very introverted cerebral engineer is very passionate about what he believes, but it may not come out awkwardly or, you know, outwardly. That's okay. You know, and introverted people get a bad rap. I mean, 50% of us out there are introverted. They're great. I want my pharmacist and my doctor, my engineer to all be very logical, thought, taking time and processing. And it's great. They're great. And there's a lot of good literature out there, but there's something about society that's like, you want to be introverted. You want to be that vocal, passionate person. And it takes all kinds. But noticing the other person and their benefits, it is a behavior, though. And most behaviors can be adjusted. The one thing I didn't want to stress is, you know, when you take these tests, a lot of people want to coin them personality tests. And they're more behavioral assessments. You can change behavior. It's tough to change personality, really.
We're going to talk more about that when we get back in just one second. Welcome back to the I've Decided Radio Show. We are in the studio today with Mr. Chuck Rice and learning, and we're talking about initiative. That's our weekly winning word. And Chuck, I'm so excited to have you here and learn more about Brio. But we have to share this with the listeners, because I'm wondering how many of you guys have actually heard of the word Brio? Because I know, Chuck, when you and I first met, I'm like, is that initials for something? Does that stand for something? And I actually had a little lesson in a new word. So let's share that. So talk a little bit, Chuck, about your company, what you do, and how you help people take the initiative, obviously, and the tools and resources that you use. But I like the name. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you do like the name. When I would look for a name, because I do tend to be quick thinking and make the... I like Brio because it was short. But I went back and, of course, Googled. I'm very passionate about things. I get excited. I think I have some vigor when I do things. And sure enough, that word came up. And you kind of... I've heard Brio before. I mean, there's a movie, you Leave It to Brio. There's a Brio in, you know, Rio de Janeiro, I think, or wherever. But Brio, the word itself, means vigor, passion with excitement. So if people see it on a card, what I did in my, on the backside, it has a definition. So if they don't know, they can turn it over and they say, oh, okay. And it's a nice point of conversation. And it just stays with people. I mean,
it's easy to remember. Yeah, because it's actual word.
Yeah, it is.
Brio
is
an actual word. It just, we don't use it very often.
Yeah, we don't. But, Kim does that with, great Brio. There you go. I mean, using a sentence. So
it's just the definition of Brio again is what?
Vigor, excitement with passion. It's how you go about things. And this job, this company that I founded is, it's a purpose that I have, and it's a passionate thing, and I'm happy doing it. And after 30 years of being in pharma and in great industry and served me well, I wanted to go do something that I really wanted to do. I've had some friends go out and do similar things with their own companies around training and development. Blessed enough to have a great network over those years with companies that I could tap into initially. And since then, I've worked with large, manufacturing companies, trucking companies, and then small family-owned companies. 5-10 people, which is always really cool too, on a local level. If I had my preference, probably Midwestern under 100 employees is kind of cool because you can make a decision. You can impact people. I'm close where I can follow up. And the self-awareness thing is just so foundational. So it tends to kind of go there first. People are familiar with the DISC or Myers-Briggs or Insights or some of the tools out there. DISC in the way that I approach it with what I do, it just resonates with people immediately. And foundationally, if you can get that self-awareness piece right, if you want to go into change management or leadership or something else, it's much easier if people are self-aware.
Or sales, or if you work in sales and marketing.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, this is huge. It's huge. All right, so you dropped the word DISC. And so I know people are saying, okay, wait, what did he say? So let's talk a little bit about that's a resource that you use through Brio when you're and really you're working with companies mostly and helping bridge the gap with their employees to be successful as far as communicating and how they manage the behavior in their workplace, right?
It's exactly. And DISC, I should probably say, it's an acronym for Dominant Influence, Steady, and Compliance. And again, it goes back to that. Some people, again, that word dominance isn't necessarily you're dominant over everything you do and you control people. And as you just come from a very active, driven, matter of fact, get it done type of place. Influence, you tend to be the person that likes to chat and go to happy hours and soccer games and pictures and this all family and you're very chatty, which is great. I love those people. Steady are people that have a lot of empathy. They're just a little bit more closed. They're trusting people. Like your grandma sometimes, I think, is being kind of that steady. And then compliant folks are just a little bit more, again, they come from a logical, process-driven, it's got to make sense, science based on that. So DISC has been around since the 30s. There's some different versions of it. The one I like, this Flex takes a look at a 360 view as well. So if you go through it, you can send it to 6-8 people and get to see yourself through their eyes, which we rarely get to see. Now, most of the time it shakes. You'll do the DISC assessment and it'll come out and you may be dominant, extroverted. But sometimes, a certain set of people may not quite see it that way. And that's where that being honest, I'm like, well, really? And it's maybe catches you off guard. But then you dive into a little bit more, and if you're honest with yourself, you're like, yeah, I guess I can see that. So taking action on it.
And sometimes the way we see ourselves may not quite be, that's the hard part, right?
It can be very hard, and unfortunately, the higher you go up, the less people are going to kind of maybe call you on it or say something. And, there's a psychological safety in the workplace where people don't challenge, and you can challenge in the right way for the right reasons. It's just depends on your culture a lot. It really does. And the good thing about some of the folks coming up, I hate to label them Gen Z or Gen Y millennials. They're very passionate folks. They will kind of tell you what they think and what they want. And sometimes they could do it in a more, a manner that jives with some other backgrounds, generationals, baby boomers, if you will, or whatever. But I think that group is going to change culturally how companies approach employees and retention is such a big part of that.
Retention is a big deal.
So for no other reason, if you wanted to kind of look at some self-awareness things for your employees, believe me, it will put a dent in the retention because if people are aware and they kind of are getting what they need from each other in the workplace, that safety, that trust goes up, that lack of safety goes down, and they're going to stick around longer. They just are.
And that's what I was going to ask you. So why would a company want to hire you? So if it, what kind of situational things could be happening in a company where you could come in and really help them?
Well, the easiest one is trust. I mean, unfortunately, corporate America, the trust is pretty low right now. And I saw a stat the other day, I think it was even from Gallup, is that people will trust a stranger 70% of the time more than they'll trust their boss, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
So, and if you've got a good boss and they're self-aware and they do all these things, you're so lucky. And but there's so many people that, and it doesn't make them bad people. It's just they're just not aware and, you know, they're busy. And that we're all busy, right? We're busy being busy. But the data out there recently shows we're no more busy than we were 30 years ago. We just go about it differently and we stress about and have anxiety. But the sheer busyness, nah, we're not busier.
It's all about the same. It's just how we're responding to it.
Exactly. React versus respond. You know, so much of what goes on in the workplace is somewhat fear related and we react. That's that amygdala kicking in, fight, flight, or freeze. And people won't take initiative if they're in that mode, right? So, it makes so much sense going back from, whenever, the 30s, 20s, whatever. It's been known, but now we're taking more action on it in the workplace.
It's interesting that you mention trust. And we're going to probably, we won't have as much time to talk about it now before we're going to take a break here pretty soon. But when we come back, I want to dive into that a little more because I do think we're in a culture where people don't trust in general. Loyalty is down. You know, back in the 30s, somebody started a job and they knew they were going to stay there. So I don't know if maybe they just said, I'm going to trust this company no matter what, because this is where I'm going to stay. And they just made that decided effort to do that. Or if there was just a different culture back then. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show this Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided, and I'm so happy that you are here with us tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show. I'm having great conversation with Mr. Chuck Rice. He is the owner and founder of Brio, and we've been talking about our weekly winning word, initiative, and how important it is for us to take that initiative to whether it's to find some resources to help us or take the initiative to the action, to put action to your plan, meet the right people. A lot of times it's just outside of our comfort zone. And just learning about the programs that Chuck can help us with. But I do want to give a shout out, Chuck. First, I'll say to you, as I say to all of our business members that come on the show, thank you so much for being a resource for I've Decided. Thank you for believing in this program and wanting to be a difference maker and give back to the community. And so thank you for being a business member of I've Decided. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. And I'm enjoying it immensely and some great people and a big fan of surrounding myself with people smarter than me. And I think I've done that, made a move towards that.
So you took the initiative.
Yeah, there you go.
And of course, got to give a huge shout out to all of our other business members who aren't on the show with us today. But you can certainly find them on our website at ivedecided.org. And while you're there, if you have not joined our community, we would love, love, love to have you as a part of our family. The beauty of joining the community is you get everything you need to successfully achieve your personal goals. We're going to give you a weekly winning resource, your success planner and journal, a monthly social, three conferences, motivational leadership conferences right here in Peoria, attendance to those every year, and just all kinds of resources and tools so that you can get on track and get on path to achieve your goals and dreams. And that's what it's all about. That's our purpose, to help you. And our mission is your success. We want you to be successful. And so I think when we're talking about initiative, let me just read. This is the definition of initiative: the ability to assess and initiate things independently, the power of opportunity to act or take charge before others do. So you're taking that initiative really beforehand. You're not waiting on somebody else to take the initiative. You're taking that initiative, right? So I thought that was kind of cool. And that's really what you're saying that you can help these companies do. You can help them take that initiative to change some things within their organization and help it help move them in a better direction.
Yeah, and a lot of it, what the initiative they take is based on retention. And we talked about that retention is such an important thing. And there's a limited number of talented people out there, and they're in demand. And if you can retain them, you retain them. And we were talking last session about the trust component. And again, it's human nature. I mean, trust tends to be, I've obviously done a lot of research and reading on. There's some great stuff out there, but inevitably it comes down to, do you care about me? Are you competent and good at your job? And are you reliable? And if you can kind of plot those things out, and you know somebody sincerely, authentically cares about you, maybe knows your kids' names, listens to you intently, and they're really good at their job, they're smart, you learn from them, and you can count on them, that's somebody you usually trust. You know, and once you have somebody's trust, they can coach you, tell you about anything, good or bad, you take it, and they're lifelong friends. I mean, you get a handful of people that you can trust outside your family, you're pretty lucky. And in the organization, I think that that they care about me piece, I think there's tons of people out there within organizations, but so much of it's shareholder value. I mean, back in the 80s when it all started, when people started, organizations started making organizational numbers by laying people off. That started, you know, in the 80s. That wasn't the case back when you were cradle to grave and companies took care of you and your families and all that type of thing. So once there's that fear of going to work, not knowing that my job may or may not be there or organizationally may get cut, it's a tough way to go to work every day. You know, that will slow up your initiative and slow up your innovation, all those things that fall under truly engaged employees. So trust, not the easiest thing to talk about in an organizational setting. I can tell you in the 30 years I was in the corporate world, I didn't see trust on many agendas for conference calls or meetings. It was just one of those things. So, but
kind of get shoved under the rug a little bit.
But it's out there now, a lot more.
And, well, because now the retention rates are so high. And, you know, we were talking, not just trying not to label, but these are just the statistics. The millennials coming up, they're saying, well, we can't trust you, so you're not going to get our loyalty. If I can't trust you, you're not getting my loyalty. And so what that means is the next best thing comes along, I'm out.
Yeah, and they're very talented. I mean, it's millennials in big markets have their choice in many cases. And the best companies, the one thing I hear companies say a lot is like, I just wish I had a stronger bench. I had more people ready to go as manager and that type of thing. And they have some control over that. Unfortunately, if you don't take care of your folks, build a nice employee experience, have trust, and they need to do their job, they will go somewhere else. So they'll get picked off. My daughter recently just got picked off by another company in an industry, and I'm so proud of her, but they came looking for her, which is great, right?
Oh, they got recruiters out everywhere. Oh,
and they get good money to go get these people. So the smart companies will load themselves up with talent. They've got a bench, and it tends to kind of be, you know, feed off itself. You know, you look at the top 10, 20 people or companies to work for, it doesn't shift a lot every year. There's a small company out on the East Coast called Wegmans Grocery Store. Look it up. It's privately owned, and year in, year out, they're top five. And you look at the pictures on our website and read the stuff, it's just amazing. And, you know, your parents work there, then the kids work there, and it's a grocery store chain, and it's just phenomenal. And it can be done on a larger level, too.
It absolutely can. And it's just the thing. Trust builds loyalty. And so, and without trust, there's no loyalty. And without no loyalty, retention is going to be high or low. Sorry, excuse me. You're not going to have a high retention number. You're going to have a low retention number. Because like we said, they're going to move as soon as the next best thing pops up. And even so, you got to love the millennials too, because they're starting to live more simple. So they're requiring less. They're living, they're not buying big houses. You know, they're driving cars for very long times. Their simplicity is becoming a popular word, you know, living simply, right? So they're not going to require as much money. They like going backpacking across America.
It's all about experiences. And again, it's not all or nothing, just spectrums. But for the most part, millennials like experiences, and you'll hear it all the time. Again, I have two millennial daughters and a Gen Z son, which is kind of that upper end of 24 now back. But my girls are going to Nashville for the weekend or going out somewhere. They're always traveling, going somewhere for something. And, you know, pictures and the stories. I mean, it's very rich for them. And it's great. So And the Gen Z, the next group that's coming, and it's kind of a throwback. I've heard the term throwback. Very pragmatic, just like you said, Kim. I mean, they're steady, they're financially responsible, they're pragmatic, which is all good stuff. But I think we're going to even see a shift in that. So millennials managing Gen Zs, here it comes.
I know. Here it comes. I have a millennial and a Gen Z.
Yeah.
And it's and you and 2 years makes all the difference. Oh my gosh, it's just amazing. My Gen Z, of course, she doesn't know life without technology, right? She hasn't had a life without a cell phone. It's been a part of her life, and that's the Gen Z quality. Not a bad thing, but just a different way of how they approach things and the information age. We're just living in that information age. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the I've Decided Radio Show. I'm here in the studio with Mr. Chuck Rice, and we've just been having a great conversation geared around our weekly Winning Word initiative. And I love the quote that's in our success planner and journal. So if you are a member of I've Decided and you have your success planner and journal, you're looking at this week, the quote is, "Your success is your responsibility. Take the initiative, do the work, and persist to the end." And that's a literal I can't read. I need readers, I think. But that's a Lori Myers quote. And so I love that. You got to take that initiative. Your success is your responsibility. But I want to just wrap up on this last segment here, Chuck, as we close. You know, we got listeners, they're probably thinking, well, you know, my work, maybe the retention rate numbers aren't where they want them to be, or maybe they recognize that they have some trust and loyalty issues going on. Maybe they've been through, you know, in our community, as we know, there's change in companies, right? We have change happening in companies here, and change can sometimes cause the trust levels to go down. And sometimes it's change that's really it's not at fault to anyone, but it's just times change, things change. And so that can impact the trust levels and things too. So just to bring it on home here, I want you to share, because I got a really good idea now and understanding of how you can help these companies. But if someone were to get in touch with you and say, you know, what's the starting point? What can they expect when you come into their organization and work with their employees? What can they expect to happen, and how's that going to happen, I guess?
Everything is individual and customized. So I would sit down and have a conversation. And what is it that you want to do? What is it you think is going on long term? And then based on that, then, you know, you can make some suggestions. You just foundationally, self-awareness is probably going to be the first step for any of it. I just think that's what you build off of. But a lot of companies, and everybody's heard the word engagement. They've all been through engagement surveys, or it's all about the customer experience. And both those are right. It's just that what the piece they're missing is the one that precedes them both. So employee experience is something different. It's how people go into their job. It's how they trust. It's how they interact. And all that drives a feeling of trust or purpose, self-awareness. That's when you engage. Once you get that part right, then you'll engage. And when you engage, truly engage, customer experience comes. So if you want to affect your customer experience, your endpoint, which is your business, you're going to have engaged employees. And to do that, you're going to have to go back and have a positive employee experience, which is all about self-awareness, understanding where you're coming from, noticing other people. So that assessment piece is great. It gives you a baseline of things to go from. After that, there's a ton of different ways you can go, but I would really stress getting that piece and that assessment right, going into it knowing what you want from it, what it should and should not do. Some people use these the wrong way. And, you know, you don't want to label folks. It's all a spectrum, and how you pull it through and coach it is important, and that's a big part of what I try to stay with people. So doing assessments is one thing. Coaching people how to use it and go through it is another, and I like to stay involved with that because it's ongoing. I mean, I'd love to work with companies for years and see things happen versus a one and done, which there's a lot of that out there too. So I hope that helps you a little bit, but
it does.
It's custom,
but,
Kim. It really is.
So are you saying you can do an assessment with like their leadership team or like all of their employees? What's the assessment entail? Can you go into a little more detail on the assessment side of it?
Sure. And usually it's initiated by an HR person. It could be a training development if you're lucky enough to have that in-house. And sometimes it's just managers of a group, be it sales, operations, IT, whatever. They initiate it, and then they would reach out to me or through you, and we would have the initial conversation of what is it that you're trying to do. And oftentimes it's retention, which is good, but retention leads to a lot of other good things. So,
yeah. But you're mainly communicating, you're teaching them the DISC program, right? Is there an assessment that goes with that? Or
there is, and it's an online assessment, and it's very easily done. And then once the results come back, most of the time there's a workshop that's involved. And again, can we custom design that? I wouldn't go much in less than 90 minutes because you can't get into any substance. I've seen people want to do a half a day. So people would get their assessment. You walk them through what DISC is about, take them through self-awareness. And then they actually have their profile, and we have some interactive exercises, and they walk away with tip sheets and action plans of, this is what I need to do. And I encourage everybody to share their DISC with their boss, and that's where, you know, the magic happens. If they can sit down and show them that, be a little honest, authentic about it, and I want to make some changes, hopefully the boss does the same thing. But to your earlier point, I think some of it starts with leadership. You know, if there's five directors or five managers, good to start top down. So I would start there and say, okay, let's take a look at this. And then once we do this, do you guys want to roll it out at a level of your teams? And then it maybe looks a little bit differently. But if it comes from top down, it carries a very strong message.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Success starts at the top.
You got it.
You can't, it kind of goes back to the old parenting style, right? Do what I say, do not as I do. That doesn't work very well. We know that. Kids are going to do what you do, not what you say do.
Product of your environment, right?
That's right. We're a product of our environment. Mm-hmm. That, or maybe the apple don't fall far from the tree. You've heard that saying. That is so true. And so that's why it is so important that if anything that's coming down the pipeline, the leadership team, the people at the top have to be doing it. They have to be engaged. They have to be a part of the experience if it's going to work.
Yeah, and authentic. And they really, I mean, people see through that. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of people hear engagement surveys or 360s or something like that. They've been beat to death. If they're done right with the right intentions in mind, they're different.
Yeah.
And you notice it in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's another weak spot in companies, too. You know, I've heard and hear companies saying all the time they really want to improve their employee surveys. Their employee surveys are not coming back good.
So here's a stat that blows my mind, and it's out there everywhere. Employee engagement defined by do you do more than it's expected, innovative, truly engaged people are only about 30% of a company. The engagement rate has not gone up or down plus or minus 2% in 15 years. You can do as many surveys as you want on engagement. They're just not moving the needle. And again, I would go back to why is that? Employee experience, self-awareness, trust, and purpose. So when you hear employee engagement survey, you immediately see people roll their eyes. And it doesn't have to be the case.
It's not going to be a good survey because they don't even want to do it.
they don't have great histories of it, but we can change that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All right. So here we got just about 30 seconds left in our show and want to make sure that you guys know how to get in touch with Chuck. Chuck, obviously you can find him on our website. If you go under resources, under employee training and development, you should be able to find him. But they can reach you where?
Website's www.brioed.com or chuck@brioed.com. And I was talking earlier today, I'd be glad to give out some complimentary assessments. If you want to reach out through Kim or through I've Decided on the website, glad to do that. More the better.
That'll be awesome. Thank you, Chuck. Hey, you guys, get in touch with us on that. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?